Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Lilui Nishmas, Avi Moria, Rav Hillel ben Meir, Chilmechel, Zichrono Levracha, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Levracha. Very special day on the Nachyomi calendar. We will be completing all of Nach with the closing of the Sefer Divrei Hayamim Beis, which means, of course, tomorrow we get to start brand new with Sefer Yehoshua Perek Aleph and a brand new sub-series that will be beginning called Nachyomi, A Deeper Look, where we'll be discussing a second section, a little bit more depth on some of the issues that come up in the daily Perek. Please sign up or pay attention to that series as well. You can sign up and receive this via WhatsApp or check it out on some of the platforms that we're currently offering this year on. But wherever it is, when Yoshio HaMelech died, and the last hope for the regrowth and regeneration of Yehuda was gone. Now we're only going to see a decline, and that decline was only going to go very quickly. 22 years, there would be a destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But during those 22 years, there were four kings who were going to serve. Two actually only served for 3 months each, two for 11 years. And each of the four had a certain sense of degradation. Each was a travesti of the Malchus Beis David. And they seem to be shortchanged both in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. But here we go, and we'll take it over. Vayikhu ama'aret says Yoachaz ben Yoshio vayamlichu tachas abim birushalayim. So the people of the land took Yehoachaz. He wasn't the oldest of Yoshio's sons. He was 23 at the time that his father died, as we'll see in a moment. And Yoyakim, who succeeded him only 3 months later, was 25. So we see that it was a special initiative of the Amei Ha'aretz to make the younger man the king. And we'll see why. The fact is, they thought that he would be easier to deal with. So what did they do? Ben Shlosh V'Esim Shana Yehoachaz B'malchu Shlosha Chadash Malach B'Yerushalayim. And he was 23, and he served for 3 months. It tells us that in the bottom line that the next psukim tell us that he was not so good. This is in Sefer Melachim. We know that he was Yehoachaz was not a good person. It's not put into Divrei Hayamim. We can assume whatever it is, it would anything that would be an assessment of his reign would definitely legitimize his reign, and it wasn't. V'asireyu Melech Mitzrayim b'Yerushalayim v'ayanu shasaretz mea kikar kesev v'kikar zav. So the Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, deposed him, and he deposed him in Yerushalayim. We see that Paro Necho shackled him in Rivla, in Chamos. But Paro's actions took place in Rivla, not in Yerushalayim, according to the way the story is told in Sefer Melachim. So the Malbim basically says, look, Paro Necho took him out in Yerushalayim, and they took him to Rivla, and he shackled him there so he shouldn't be able to come back and reassert his Malchus. And that's how we put the pieces together. And he also punished the land by levying an annual tax, the Rabbah said, that was supposed to be 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. So, Vayamlech Melech Mitzrayim as El Yakim Achiv. He's now known as El Yakim. El Yakim is a son of Yoshio rather than a brother of Yehoachaz in Sefer Melachim. But here he's identified as a brother. Al Yudav Yerushalayim. Asi Vishmo Yehoyakim as Yehoachaz Achiv Lakach Necho Vayviyehu Mitzrayim. So once he was put in as king, Yehoachaz was taken into Mitzrayim. So although the people spurned him and appointed Yehoachaz, Hashem didn't forsake him. Now he was there going to be king. That's why he changed his name. Ben Esim Chamish Shana Yehoachim B'Malcho V'Achaz Esrei Shana Malach B'Yerushalayim. V'Yasa Rabbi Nei Hashem Elokav. He was really, really bad. So this time, instead of it coming from the south, Yoyakim was the most, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Gimel, Amid Beis, he was the worst among the kings. When he came onto the throne, he said, look, the earlier kings didn't know how to get Hashem angry. They were amateurs. We don't need anything from him. We don't need anything other than the light of the sun. We have gold that shines brightly. And so therefore, Hashem said, the people said, look, is gold and silver not Hashem's? It says, Liyah kesef liyah zavnum Hashem. So he answered them, he already gave it to us. And that's what you say in Tehillim, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem Baratz Nasan Lebnei Adam. So evidently, the evil that Yehoyakim put this challenge up against Hashem is seen as a bigger rebellion than any of the things that the other kings did, including sleeping with their mothers and all sorts of other challenges of Znus. But whatever it is, one builds on top of the other. Nebuchadnezzar comes up from Babel, and he goes ahead and he takes him into Babel to be punished. When we claim base Hashem, Hevi Nebuchadnezzar to Babel, you also take some of the kelim also at the same time by name Hechalo be Babel, and he put it in his palace in Babel. Now, v'yesu divrei Yehoyakim v'so'av osav asher asav animsa alav hinam ksum al sefer divrei malchi Yisrael v'yehuda v'yimloch Yehoyakim b'no tachtav. So whatever is left in there, it's all written up in the story of Malchi Yisrael and all the terrible things that he did, and is all included over there, and the abominations that he did. According to Gemara, it says that he lived with his mother, but according to the Gemara, that was not him. It was Amon, not Yehoyakim. And some suggest, based on the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, that he wore Kalayim, or that he was Moshech Bar Alasso, or that he lived with his daughter-in-law and his father's wife. And so whatever he did, he also was involved in Znus, and whatever was found on him, right? There were a bunch of things that he did in secret, which came to light only much later. And so whatever it is, he was a pretty bad dude, this Yehoyakim. And by Yimloch Yehoyakim b'no tachtav, we pointed out Yehoyakim, it takes over for his father. Now, ben Shmona Shanim Yehoyakim b'malcho. When Yehoyakim takes over, he was 8 years old. And the truth is that Seder Olam suggests he was 18, but the count of 8 years doesn't speak to his age, but when the age with in regard to Nebuchadnezzar's ascent to the throne. And Shlosha Chadashim Ve'aseres Yamim Malach Yerushalayim, he was only involved with the for 100 days. Ve'aser Rabbeinei Hashem, he also did terrible things. So, in that context, by the end of the year, Nebuchadnezzar brought him to Babel with all the clay chemda, with all of the desirable vessels. And of course, as we know, it wasn't just the desirable vessels, but he took all the great ones of the of Eretz Yisrael, of Malchus Yehuda, with him. That's how Mordechai wound up in Babel at that point in time, and all the Chorei Shemazgir, and they were there really with Hashem's Chesed to set up for the other Jews who are going to go into Galus 11 years later. And what happened? And his brother Tzidkio becomes king on Yehuda. So Tzidkio becomes the king over Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and ben Esrim ve'achas shana Tzidkio b'molcho, ve'achas esrei shana malach b'Yerushalayim. At that point in time, Tzidkio was 21 years old when he took over as king, and he served as a king for 11 years. Ve'asar Rabbeinei Hashem Elokav lo nichna mipnei Yirmiyo anami mipi Hashem. He was so terrible that he didn't humble himself before Yirmiyo, right? But he was not guilty of the stuff that Yehoyakim had done, or that were found about Yehoyakim. So he was a little bit more of a tzaddik. In fact, some of the Chazal tell us Tzidkio was called a tzaddik gamor, in whose merit Hashem didn't destroy the world. And that's the suggestion of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Yirmiyahu repeatedly told Tzidkio to push himself down to Nebuchadnezzar's demands and rule over a small vassal state. And of course, he wouldn't listen. And he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And the path of rebellion that he took, he continued to follow through. Gam Sari HaKohanim, Gam Kol Sari HaKohanim Ba'am Hirbu Lumomal Kechol Tovos HaGoyim. So even also the Kohanim, and the aristocracy, and the Sarim, they also rebelled against Hashem. The Kohanim were singled out for blame, so it was their duty to instruct the people, and for that they failed. Ba'itamu es beis Hashem asher hektish b'Yerushalayim, and they defiled the beis Hashem, which was already mukdash. Vayishlach Hashem Elokei Avoseihem Aleihem Biyad Malachav Hashkem V'Shaloach Kicham Al Alamo V'Al Ma'ono. And then Hashem addressed them through his messengers each and every day, always trying because he took pity on his people, and he kept sending the Nevi'im back and forth to give the messages, specifically Yirmiyahu, and we know from our study of Sefer Yirmiyahu how horrible it was for Yirmiyahu. Vayu Malibim B'Malachei Elokim U'Bozim Devarav U'Me'ta'atim B'Nevi'av. And so instead, they mocked the messengers, they despised the words, they scoffed at the prophets to a point where Adalos Chamas Hashem B'Yamo Ad Le'in Marpe, it was too late. So he brought the king of the Chaldeans, right? And he killed everything. Man, woman, children, old, young, they had defiled the Beis Hashem, and now they're going to pay the price directly over there. And the massacre that was put on the Jews of Yerushalayim was so precise, And they filled it with all the bodies of slain people all over the place. Everything was brought to Babel. And they burned out the house of Hashem, and they broke down the walls of Yerushalayim and all the towers and the castles they burned. V'cholklei machmadel ashris. They also took all the cherished possessions and they destroyed it. V'yagel asheris min acheriv el babel. So all the leftovers who had not been taken with Yechaniah or Yehoyachin to Babel, they were now taken to Babel. V'yulo l'banav la'avadim ad meloch malchus paras. And they served in Babel as slaves to Nebuchadnezzar, until the king of Persia took over. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Beis Hashem in the 19th year of his reign, and he was succeeded by Avel Merodech years later, who was then succeeded by Belshazzar, and 2 years later, Belshazzar was assassinated, and so the Babylonian Empire came to an end after 70 years. And as soon as that happened, Koresh said that the Jews were going to have a right to come back. The Malos Devar Hashem Befi Yirmiyahu Ad Ratz Da'aretz Hashab Sosa Kol Yemei Hashama Hashab Salam Alu Shivim Shana. And this is to fulfill the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said there was going to be 70 years. Ubishnas Achas LeKorish Melech Paras LeChlos Devar Hashem Befi Yirmiyahu Heir Hashem Esruach Korish Melech Paras VeYaber Kol B'Chom Malchuso Gamem Mechtav Lemor. And so at the end of that time, in the first year of Korish, the king of Persia, until the conclusion of Hashem's word by Yirmiyahu, Hashem brought the goodwill of Koresh, and he issued the following proclamation. And what did he say? He said that he issued it in voice and also in writing. This is what the Koresh, the king of Paras, said to all the kings and kingdoms in the world. Nasanli Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem gave me a tremendous amount. And he chose me to go ahead and build a house for him. And anyone among you of his people, right, Hashem should be with him, and he should go as well. So according to Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Yuma, the Shekhinah didn't stay in the second Beis HaMikdash as it did in the first, because the second one was built through the efforts of Koresh and Daryavish. The first one was built by Shlomo HaMelech, and so we see that there is a difference. But still notwithstanding, Koresh calls out to all the Jewish subjects, and all of his other subjects he invited, according to Rashi, even non-Jews, to go up to Yerushalayim and build the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, only the Jews were qualified to do the construction. Koresh obligated the Goyim to share in the building. They were going to send the Jews to Yerushalayim, and Hashem should be with him, and he should, and whoever wants to be go, be Ya'al, let him go off. It's interesting to note that the quote from Ezra ends in the middle of a pasuk, and this seems to confirm all that we know about the Divrei Hayamim's view of history. V'yal is not limited to a specific historical event. There is Shivas Tzion from Babel, but it also looks to the future. When Mashiach comes, it will also come with those words, V'yal. And of course, when it comes to the opportunity for each of us to move over to Eretz Yisrael, we call it making Aliyah, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us all that opportunity to do so, b'simcha, u'betuv levav, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us Tam v'nishlam sefer divrei hayamim u'slikalon sefer nach be'ezras Hashem. Tomorrow morning we will turn around and start anew. But once again, just like we end V'ya'al with Aliyah, we will start with the Aliyah of Bnei Yisrael at the time of Yehoshua. Tune in, everybody. But in the meantime, have a fantastic, amazing, safe, wonderful day.